Stormy Real 2. You left school. What age were you when you left school?
15.
And you went to this job with the ICI?
I went there, as I said, it had been made available to me mainly because I'd been a junior boxer.
What was the importance of boxing and getting this job? Where did that link
from? Well, the thing was, to go in as a boxer, I was allowed to more or less wander the factory every will between jobs, if you understand what I mean. We were only experimenting with different passes and things like that, you see. And of course, I had to have proper classes and everything there, you know, so I was apprenticed to them. And
had ICI an enthusiasm for boxers?
Yes, sure. We had one, two, three. We had ABA champions.
That's the connection that I was after,
that
was
the connection, yeah. Well, Tommy Scott, he only had one fight, Tommy Scott was a great boxer himself, he had before, till he lost his eye, and he was a trainer, so, oh yes, and he did all the training, you see, but with boxing, I won the ICI championships, then I went home and I won the Northern County Championships, and then I went down to Albers Hall. And I got beaten in the semi-final with a fella called Lolly Case. That from Dallin.
And you did this boxing in your spare time after working?
Oh, yeah. Every night. I was very interested, like, because there was quite a group of us there, you know. I mean, it wasn't only me, and quite a lot of us were. We used to box all over the place. We used to go down there. You know, because he used to take us out. You know, we've got to York, fight at York, Dunlop Company, and it wasn't on the scale it is now, but the Dunlop Rubber Company in Liverpool, we used to go to Hull, there was a big boxing club at Hull. They were just very scattered, you know, and there was one in Sunderland. We used to come through to Sunderland, which was like going to the back end of the world, you know, it was all good.
So this was an ICI boxing club situation?
Yeah. That was
its own boxing team?
That was just a boxing team. And it was all done at night. You know, always fought at night. You didn't fight during the day, anything like that. You always went out at night. You did your boxing. I mean, I remember going through one night in... I fought Jackie Reeves, a lad called Jackie Reeves. And I'm trying to get my mind to it's weird jump this morning. Anyway, I went through to York this particular night. They always remember, and it was a lovely silver cigarette case. I mean, they did the stint on things like that, you know. It was all lovely prizes. And I saw this lovely silver cigarette case. And of course, I was as a junior boxer, I'd been in first, and I come out of it, and I took my pick, and I took the silver cigarette case for my dad, you know. And all the others would come up and say, "What have you got?" I said, "You can't have that, you don't want that." "No, you'll tell you." I said, "Oh, that's very innocent for me, father." I said, "No, you're not getting this." I said, "No, I was getting it, don't get me that."
Were the expenses paid by the company to these various places?
Oh, yes, they took everything, that was all paid by the ICI. They took you there and brought you back. I mean, many times I didn't get back home until 12 o'clock at night, you know, and I mean, if you go to boxing, you walk down. In those days, I mean, it's a hell of a journey down to York, and you would set off there and you'd be boxing all night, and then you went back home again, didn't you?
Can we go back to your work now? And you were apprenticed as a plasterer. How long was the apprenticeship expected to last?
5 years.
And when you first joined them, did you have the usual kind of tricks played on you that used to be played on apprentices and so forth?
No, well, not really. Nothing that I can really put my finger on. I mean, I know I've written one of them about things that did happen, you know, but not really, because as I say, like, I don't know whether it was because course, I was a boxer or something.
Yeah. Sometimes apprenticeships weren't tread very well by the workforce, were they?
Mind, I haven't said that. Like, I mean, if you stepped out of mine, no hesitation. Boot up the bottom of a looking across the ear. That was the way you were taught. You didn't make it again. Do that, and you didn't do it like that. I thought the bloody told you to do that. Bang! But get it done now. And you just took it, you know. That was part of the thing.
What was your first wage?
I don't know, 5 and 6 months, I think. 5 shillings and 6 pence. Yeah.
And did you hand that all over to your father?
Yeah, I didn't keep anything. Then you got the tanner back. But you got the tanner back. But there again, you got the tanner back. But you could do an awful lot with 6 pence in those days, you know. And maybe, yeah, I mean, prior to that, I mean, before I went there, I was working nights and Saturdays in a gramophone shop. John Burden and Sons of Stockman, too, was massive and important, of course. But they had this little shop in Billingham, down Mill Lane. But they had all the records in that end, but if they needed all the records, then I would be sent up to... I would go there at 4 o'clock. Sons of Corpus Street, I would go there at 4 o'clock. And 5 years was not only to do that, I'd have to jump on the bus and go up to Stockton and get the any records and that was required and brought back down. And then the rest of the night, I was spending 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night taking to the accumulators round, carrying accumulators all over the village.
And how much did they pay you for this?
1 and 6.
And was this every night of the week that you were doing this?
Yeah.
And the week, the Saturday you mentioned?
On the Saturday, yeah. Yeah, 1 and 6 months. That was, yeah, 1 and 6. And if you take those out at the kilometres, it's about 8 and each hand later.
You had to take a lot of responsibility at a very early age.
Oh, yes. Well, there was one in my father, but you know, there was nobody, we didn't have any other people or anything like that. I'll be honest, I mean, we all had our own jobs to do in the house. Mm-hmm. My job was to screw the stairs. Screw all the stairs down. You could have had the front room with the two upstairs and upstairs down. And I had to bring the stairs and the sitting room to do. The younger brother, they were left with a kitchen to do. It wasn't an easy task, like, you know. That, we did that every week. We scrubbed the whole place from top to bottom because in those days you had the old clippy mats on the floor and you had the oil cloth underneath. So it wasn't a hardship really. We just scrubbed the floors.
How many hours did you work as an apprentice? How many hours a week?
40 odd. 45, I think it was. Yeah, 45.
What time in the morning would you start?
Half past 7.
And the end of the day was what time did you finish? And then
you had an hour at dinner time. You had this hour out at dinner time. You didn't. You had a full hour.
I say I had a reputation of being good employers. Was that the case then?
They're very good, yeah, very good. I mean, I remember my father, he got gas one beer there.
So your father was working there as well, was he?
Oh, yes. That's how we come to be there. He was a boiler man there. And there was a leak of gas somewhere, and he got gassed, and they were very good to him. They sent him over to... Grangeover Sands. Grangeover Sands, they sent him over there and they used to send him there for a fortnight.
Convalescence was kind of
convalescence for a fortnight, normally. But the extent of the gas up, my father, he was there about 6 weeks and he got all his money. He didn't only get his money, he got spending money while he was there. And the bottom 10 albums where it was paid in full to watch like that. And I was very, very good that way, very good that way. And of course, it, like when I joined the army, you know, and like me, if I, when I went on with the DI and went on the camp and that, used to pay my wages and the army wages. So I was well off when I went on any army camp. I had all my army paid to myself in that.
And
it wasn't a lot, but it was a great lot to us in those days, like, you know.
And this was you were still apprentice at that time. Did your wage increase every year, or was there a rise at the end of each year?
No. Well, it did increase as you went on, naturally, because that was built in within the but it was only more or less coppers, you know. I mean, it wasn't until you actually came out of your time that you actually felt the benefit. It increased your wages automatically, you know.
But did you get annual holidays at that time?
We've never had an annual holiday before, but we've got them at the RCI. Yeah, we've got them doing one annual holiday, 1 week's holiday every year. That was unheard of in those days. Really lost. Yeah. Never.
What did you do on your week off?
Well, there's always something to do.
You didn't go off to the coast or seaside for a week or what have you?
Oh, well, our main interest at that time then was the. We would jump on the bikes and we'd go over to the Cat Mountain. Beside Saltburn. We used to go camping there at the Cat Mountain. A couple of old backbone shakes. Jump on the bike and we would go on. But anyway, when we got to the Cat Mountain, we'd been there a time or two, and then we got in with a shard that was there. It was one of the Coast Guard stones. Where before we used to pay a tanner and light for being on, which was like a penny a piece, because we should count about six of us in the tent, you know. It was like a penny a piece to keep there. And we kept up on this, the kit, what's called a cat now. But when we got in with this lad, we put the tent up in his father's garden, because they lived on the top of the cliffs at Saltburn, you see. His coast guard looked up over the street and we used to kick it there. We used to use water and everything like
that. As a teenage young man, you know, what leisure activities did you get up to? You've mentioned your boxing, you've mentioned cycling. What other things did you do?
Well, walk to Greetham. We would walk along the river. We'd go down to what they called a fox cover, which was full of foxes at that time, and that's why it was named fox cover. We would go, we'd get birdlime, which you could buy, but not birdlime, like these evening, which you could spread it on the trees in this fox cover and that. And we could catch linnets, all kinds of birds. We used to sell them at the market.
How did that work?
Oh, where the bird line used to put it on, and once it got on, they couldn't get off. It was like a deal.
Like an adhesive.
Like an adhesive belt. Bird landed, no way could he get off until you took him off. And he used to pick them up, the linnets, the finches, and everything. We should take them up, kids, and we'd take them up to Stoke Market and sell them there, took his piece, or penny a piece, or whatever we could get for them, you know.
was the cinema a place that you went to? The cinema? Did you go
to
the cinema?
There was a cinema in Billingham as well. Yeah, a cinema there. Yeah. Well, there was one lad there with us, Big Happy, he was known as, which he was. He was about 6'4". Now, in those days, we were out of the titty then, like, you know, and he was 6'4" and still going, like, you know. But when he went in, he always used to have to sit in the aisle, so he used to spread his legs down the aisle. So he could spread his legs down the aisle, because he used to get cramp in the legs. And everybody would walk up, they used to fall over, and they used to be yelling on the aisle.
Did you go to the church or chapel?
Oh, yes. I was a member of the church last brigade. I was also a member of the boy did. I was in the boat. I used to go to the church in the morning and or the afternoon, whichever one, you know, and then go to the other one. I was in the boat.
So you enjoyed being in with those. What did you enjoy about the brigades? Well, yes, what did you enjoy about them? What attracted you to them?
Oh, I think it was just, we used to have every Sunday morning, we would meet at the church, prior to going into the church, I should say, and we'd set off, and we had the drum and fife band. I couldn't play the drum and fife because I'd smashed the tube for anything, so I could. So I played a big drum. And we used to march the whole end of Billingham. March right away down Mill Lane, right away around the bottom, up back by the ITI, and come right away back round, and then we'd go into church. And when I went to the church, I'd forget, I was in the afternoon, the evening, and we'd all march in there.
That's what you had in the boys' brigade, was that? Or the church? In the church?
That was
the church lads' brigade. Yeah. And you actually drilled with wooden rifles at that time.
Yeah.
The people, the officers that looked after you, were they?
Great, wonderful people.
Do you remember any of them particularly?
One in particular stays in my mind, Scotch fella. It was him that started the brigade, actually. He'd come down from Scotland, so a lot of Scots people came down there, you know. And he came down from Scotland. He actually started the boys' brigade in Billingham. And of course, there was no time at all. He got a bugle band going and everything. We had to practice and everything, like, you know. Like, it was very good to me, like, because, as I say, I'd have to be 2:14. I'd come off the brigade bike. I'd had a lad's bike, and I pulled the front brake on instead of the back one. I went straight on.
Did you have a uniform?
Oh, yes, yes. We had the belt, the punch on. Like a sand brown belt with a punch on. We had the Glengarry, and that was more or less the uniform, right? The Glengarry.
Did you have to buy it yourself?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And was it very militaristic? And that was the church lads. And the other uniform you described was a boys' brigade. And you're operating both of these at the same time. You were running both at the same time. Were they very militaristic in their organisation?
I don't think so. But then again, it surprised how much you learn, actually. I mean, that was my first. I mean, I went into St. John's Ambulance for quite a while after that. But prior to that, we'd learned first aid in the Church Lad Brigade and also in the Boys Brigade. They taught you all that, you know.
And you'd have army type drills, did you?
Oh, yes. Well, you had to be. You were marching. Yeah, I mean, your bugles and everything,
What was the background of the officers?
The background, they were all working men. The ones that I remember, as I say, especially from that. I can always remember them because, they had a lovely dress uniform, you know, proper uniform. Must have brought it down to Scotland, you know, like a very dark suit on, you know, and they were very smart, you know, lovely big Ben Gary, proper Ben Gary and that, you know. But he was very good.
Had they a military background? Had they come out of the forces or been in the forces?
I think probably most of them. Or some of them had anyway, you know, because as I say, you did all the blues and everything just the same, you know. You, even in the church hall and stand there and the word do it. I don't think about that. I remember doing a big exhibition and we stopped them one day. And our job, our part, where the Boys Brigade part was, we built this big pyramid. I always remember this. Big pyramid, like, it was about 10 wide, you know.
Of this human pyramid.
Human pyramid, where do we have to go to? Why the hell I think when you think like you're a map of yours, you know? Just a short little finger like that, and the whole lot just collapsed, and you all collapsed downwards like that, and you all came down, right, exactly, and you landed in exactly the same position as you were doing up there. No move. You just all dug down like that. Don't believe it. You just all fell down together like that, and you all come down again.
What was the discipline like in the brigade? Very strong, was it?
Yeah. Looking back, it wasn't too bad, I suppose, but when you look back, they had to have discipline. You couldn't handle, because these were all boys. Four girls, of course, there was the girls' church brigade, they had the same kind of thing, it's not to the same extent as the lads, and they're the same, the lads are put their rifles, and move rifles, and everything back to.
If you did anything wrong, how would they punish you?
Well, they just stopped you from going.
And that was sufficient in itself to...
Right, don't come back for a week, fortnight or whatever. Right? Don't come back here if you can't be here yourself. No good to us. That was the discipline then.
And in the church lads brigade, was the church influence very strong?
Oh, yes.
Did you have prayer meetings or prayers or whatever?
Oh, you always had a prayer meeting. You always had a prayer when it started, before it started. You always did. Even in the Methodist state, you still had a prayer before you started.
Did they impress upon you the king and country situation?
Of course, that was great. It was actually... Great area. Not so much in the boys' brigade or in the church lads' brigade. Old Father Tim's, I've never thought of him for years. It just couldn't be mine, you see. And old Father Tim's, as he called himself. Great old fellow, he always just couldn't have stern words with him.
But it was duty, was it? It was inculcating the duty.
And I think that's why there's a hell of a lot of lads that I know, of my own age, there's a lot of us who were left good jobs. I mean, I had a good job, I had the best living of that work. But I still left it early in the way.
Before we come to that, did you go on any annual camps with the brigades? July camps, summer camps.
With the Durhams, I think.
Ah, but did you do it with the brigades?
Where was it? We used to go to we had a big one at York one year. They brought the whole lot in, and another time we had one up Northumberland way somewhere. We all went on camp, with proper campsite laid out,
With tents?
Yeah, proper tents laid out. And of course, in those days, it was nearly all like the old army tents, where you slept pole to pole. it was spread round in one big ring right away around the tent.
What kind of activities did you do when you were in camp?
Oh, there was all sorts of, you had the woodcraft and things like that, they'll take you out and teach you all the different woodcrafts and things like that. But mainly, not so much of the church lads brigade, and it was more militaristic in that one, when I look back on it now, it was very militaristic as compared to the to the boy from there to help me.
When you say militaristic, did you do military activities in the camp when you went camping?
Yeah.
How did you fit in a church lads brigade camp and a boys brigade camp?
Oh, no, it was different camps. You know,
and at different times?
Different times. But different times of the years and different times of the year.
But did you go to both?
I went to both.
How long did the camp last? How long was it for?
Fortnight. You go for the full fortnight.
And were you still in the brigades when you started work?
Yes, yes.
And were you allowed time off to go to these camps?
Yes.
They didn't mind that at work?
No. They didn't get paid for it. They didn't get paid for it. So it was a case of like, do I go or do I not? Like, you know, if you're 9 days old, it's any day you go. They couldn't afford that.
So the church lads brigade camp, where you said they were very military, what kind of activities would they be in the camp situation?
I mean, you know, actually doing actual activities, you know, wires up ropes and things like that, you know, and you could go traveling across the wires between trees and things like that, you know.
So the boys' brigade and say the church brigade. How long were you in those organisations?
Well, the boys' brigade, I would say, I was starting with about 12. Yeah, boys' brigade and the church brigade, more or less about the same time.
And how long did you stay with
them? I was a church boy. Yeah.
Yeah. And how long were you with them? How long did you stay?
More or less, just after I started a certain time. And then once I started a certain time, like, go, then more or less just a little bit.
Were you a regular church goer or chapel goer?
Yes. I must admit, I mean, I've been brought up that way.
Your family were very...
My family were, yes. In Chester Street, we went every Sunday. We went to Sunday school. We never missed the Sunday school. We went to Sunday. And we saw there every Sunday. We'd walk along by the way. And fight us to death with all the tales about the lump and worm and things like that. You know, you walk along with them.
Did you have Sunday best clothing that you only wore on a Sunday?
Yes. And you only wore it on a Sunday and all. Only. No way you wore it during the week. Get in. It was off your back as soon as you got through the door. Get them all back. And all went the old rags again. And what rags I could. All your home went whatever you had to. So walk about it. You could walk about your Sunday best. No way. But of course it was nice. I mean, even on a Sunday, you always had the plush tablecloth on. You never, ever dream of sitting down on a Sunday, you know, like for Sunday dinner company like that. You had to do everything went properly, you know. You'd have a plush tablecloth on, a real tablecloth on.
You didn't seem as though you had much time for girls as a teenager. When did they start coming into your life?
I never had much time for girls. I was always very involved with muscular activity. I don't know why, but there were girls around about, like the McDonald's and all that. When you were a lady, you should play with them and that means, But then, everything else you want to do is, a way you go and do your own thing, like, you know, because it's a true shame, like that. Boys were boys in those days. And that was it. They used to go out and just do whatever came into your mind and go on and just let the world go by. Walking, happy food, places like that. Just walking and walk back again.